Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
You want to play game? Okay.
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong. Too strong.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send love.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest and sports, the hottest sports people out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
What?
I'm too strong.
Too strong.
Too strong.
Let it bump, though.
Definitely, she's been holding it down. That's my popular man, the lovely TK.
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing tonight?
Everything's going fine. Everything is going fine. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was good. I know what you're getting at, but we ain't going to talk about that.
Yeah, before we get to this championship, because, you know, this is the Hard Knock Life series. We've got a wonderful interview with my man, Orlando's father, Brandon Santiago. That's coming up later on in the hour to tell you about his Hard Knock Life story and how he's triumphant and how he's winning. That's later on in the show. Before we get into really getting in depth with this NCAA stuff, you know, for all you Knicks fans out there that think you're making it to the playoffs, I hate to tell you.
No, sir.
Not going to make it this year. I really feel sorry because this might be, unless they go undefeated the rest of the season, you know, this could be the first time in Carmelo's Anthony, but he does not see the postseason. And, you know, from the injury that he had yesterday, well, that he suffered earlier on, prior to the Heat game, it just couldn't happen for him. And the Knicks really needed to win that game. Actually, they need to win the rest of the season out to go ahead and have a chance. Atlanta, they can just go 4-3 and still make it to the playoffs. So I like to see how this goes down. What do you think? Do you want the Knicks to actually go to the playoffs?
It would be nice for Carmelo's sake, but other than that, I don't really care about the Knicks. But I don't think that they're going to make it to the playoffs. They're not going to go undefeated. They've been too off and on this season. They're not consistent enough.
But they're doing all right, I think.
But all right is not good enough. all right is not playoff worthy. Doing all right is you need to be at home in the postseason, just like that's what they're going to be.
But you know what? I mean, it was really slim to click. A lot of injuries happened to the Knicks, Tyson Chandler. I just think Carmelo has to do way too much.
He can't do it. He's not that guy where he can just put the whole team on his back and carry him all the way. Is he talented? Yes. 430? Yes. But what else? He's not making everybody else around him better. He's making himself great, but he's not enough to make them win. So he's not that player that can make the other four guys make them better. And that's why they're not going to the playoffs.
Oh, you know what, Dad? You just really struck a nerve into a lot of these fans.
That's wonderful. I have a tendency to do that to people.
You know what? Carmelo Anthony is a great player.
He is. I'm not knocking that.
Does he make everybody better?
No.
In a way, yes.
No, he doesn't. If he did, the Knicks would be consistent. They're so inconsistent. He's to me, he doesn't play as the leader unless he really, really has to.
What?
I don't see it. Because a leader will help make everybody around him better. He doesn't do that. He scores 30, but he's not helping anybody else score anything enough to win.
Carmelo can make better role players out of the role players that he has. Granted, is he going to be like LeBron? No.
No.
Make everybody else better? No, he's not that type of player. Never has been that type.
That's why I said he's not that guy to carry the team on his back.
But the team that Carmelo always been on, won the national championship in Syracuse, great team, great cast, doesn't feel to rise. Even with Allen Iverson, one of the rare teammates that Allen Iverson had that averaged 20 points was Carmelo Anthony. But even with the Denver Nuggets, he had a great supporting cast. Do the Knicks have a great supporting cast?
Not to me, no. He has an okay, like I said, an inconsistent supporting cast, and you can't win championships with inconsistency. It's not going to happen.
It's just I think they got rid of too much. I believe.
I think they relied on Carmelo too much. I think they got rid of too many people, thinking that he was going to be a LeBron. It didn't quite pan out that way. Carmelo needs the help. He needs at least two other stars with him.
Whoa.
Stars.
Whoa.
Stars.
I don't know, because Carmelo is good enough to get the team over the hump. In Denver,
he plays inconsistently as well.
How?
He just doesn't play with that hunger, like, every game. Like, LeBron, you don't have room to be tired and you're trying to make it to the playoffs. You don't have room to be tired if you're trying to make it to the playoffs, and you know you are the guy. You are the star. He don't take a Red Bull. Do something. I don't know what to tell you.
But he's tired. And the reason I say that because
you talk to him personally and you know what he's thinking, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Me and Carmelo real
quick. Yeah, okay.
I'll ask you more.
And he's laughing right now like, who are you?
Look. He has to do the majority of the song. Sometimes he gets double. Most of the time he gets double teamed. Sometimes he sees multiple defenders.
That's the nature of the game when you are supposed to be the man. That's the nature of the game. You're going to get double teamed. Every star in the league has that same complaint. What's his excuse?
And it's just a lot of things that were supposed to work out in Carmelo's favor as far as the personnel have not panned out. I mean, the Knicks are in trouble because when you look at J.R. Smith as your secondary scorer,
Lord,
you're in trouble. Not to knock J.R. Smith, But Nick fans.
No, you're knocking them. Don't try to sugarcoat it. You're knocking them. Excuse me, J.R. Smith. You are currently being knocked by Trey. Please do not believe that foolishness he's talking about. He's knocking you. He's giving you the cold shoulder. Okay, let's make that clear. Stop it. And rightfully so.
No, because some shot that J.R. Smith takes, you scratch your head. How many times have Knicks fans, you could definitely attest to this, how many be like, what kind of shot was, why would you take that shot?
Goes back to me saying inconsistent. They play very inconsistent basketball. You can't win championships like that.
But he is, besides Carmelo, that is the, I guess, the next reliable secondary scorer that you have.
That's not that reliable.
On your team, you know, granted, Felton has it. Felton's been inconsistent. Amari Stoudemire has been limited due to his injury.
Mm-hmm.
Which that whole project never worked out. The Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony.
No.
I mean, it works well on the video game, granted.
But not in real life.
Not in real life. Video game, yeah. Carmelo, Amari, pick and roll, that works. But real life, it just never panned out. Tyson Chandler can only do but so much.
I agree.
The same thing they were getting last year from, like, a Steve Novak or Copeland, they're just not getting this year. Is this really not working out this year? Unfortunately, I believe they missed the playoff. By a game. Because they tried yesterday. They really did try.
Yeah,
I swear
they did. But they didn't pull it off, and that's really all that matters. It's not about how hard you try. Did you win or did you lose? And they lost, so.
Yeah, and this comes to, you know, if the Knicks, I'll knock on wood for the Knicks fans.
The Knicks aren't going to the playoffs. Stop it. Like, you just keep trying to pacify people today. Knicks fans, you're not going, okay? Let me be the one to tell you, you're not going. You think really they're not going to lose another game? Are you seriously going to sit here and tell me that?
No. They could win.
They could possibly win. That's, you're full of it and you know it. Knicks, I'm sorry. You're not going. Unless a miracle. I mean, it is almost Easter. Jesus came back in 3 days, so maybe. No, but they don't have to do what the Knicks have to do, so.
Yeah.
That's a little easier.
I'll put it like this. If the Knicks don't make it to the playoffs.
When the Knicks don't make it to the playoffs, go ahead.
I don't think Carmelo stays. No, if he stays, unless Phil Jackson does some heavy convincing. I'm talking about heavy.
I don't think he should stay. Because I don't think they can put the right pieces of the puzzle together to get him a championship. Carmelo doesn't want to make it to the playoffs. He wants to win a championship. So for him to stay, you have to give him the ingredients that say we can win a championship. Not, well, we're just going to make it to the playoffs. That's not good enough. And I don't think that they can put all those ingredients together in time. In time is what I'm saying, in time.
In order to get the team right, you have to find not only the pieces, but the right pieces, and that requires rebuilding. And
does he really want to rebuild the team? That's the question. Does Carmelo want to stay and rebuild and help rebuild the franchise around him, or does he want to go somewhere where he can just fit right in? That's another thing, though. Where can he go where he's going to fit in and still be a big playmaker? So he really has to just figure out what works best for him. And wherever, if he leaves, wherever he decides to go, has to be a good fit for him.
It's a crazy dynamic because he's turning 30, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If the Knicks has to rebuild, it's going to take at least 2 years to rebuild.
So now you're talking 32.
And you're hoping it takes 2 years. 32, maybe 33, years, this takes 3 years. Now you're, so from those 3 years, what do? You play your heart out? If, you know, you can opt out this year and be a free agent along with LeBron, D. Wade, Chris Bosh, and
everybody, yeah.
You know, what does he do? Phil Jackson's factor, which is, I really do believe that would be the only reason why he stayed, because the Zen Master himself, Phil Jackson, creates a miracle in New York where either guys come to New York and help him, or that's just pretty much it.
Yeah, but there is no or. That's it. He got to have somebody come.
You know, now, if he leaves, which if he does, where can he fit?
That's the question. I'm not sure.
I've got an interesting stat today. He can go to the Heat and team up with LeBron James, D. Wade, Chris Bosh. If they all sign for 14, if they all opt out, re-sign, and take, what, $14 million, and the rest of the guys take $3 million, and it just looks like a paid AAU team. Seriously. You have LeBron James, D. Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, and whoever is the center, what, whoever you want as the center, really doesn't matter. However, it's like, would that be cheating if you would do that?
I mean, it's not cheating, but I don't necessarily think that would be a good move for him. I don't. Because then it is such a thing as having too much star power. You want to have just enough to be effective, but you don't want to do too much to where everybody's fighting to be the star. I mean, like, that's to me.
It really wouldn't, because D. Wade doesn't care. His knees hurt. I'm winning. Only way
that will work is everybody knows their role. Everybody will have to be very clear about the part they play, and they have to stick to the script, period.
What script is this? LeBron, you're the one. D-Wade, you'll play every 5 games. Chris Bosh.
Oh, the shade is real. D-Wade, the shade is real.
They will all embrace it. LeBron, be LeBron. Do what you do. Get, you know, your 20 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 blocks. Do what you do. D-Wade, you play every 5 games. Rest your knees to the playoffs. Don't even care until the playoffs. Chris Bosh, she's making wild videos. Carmelo just catch and shoot. And Chalmers just passes the ball and let us pick on you.
Us. You're not on the team. Who's us?
Yeah. If Carmelo goes to the Heat, I'm not going to front. I'm a support. Because I want Carmelo to win a ring. There's a certain guy.
No, you said pass us the ball. You didn't say it like a fan. You said it like you was going to be on the team.
I'm about to see.
You said pass us the ball. And I'm thinking us.
Look, me and Carmelo, cool. You're real cool. Don't worry about it. We're just cool. You know, you win.
Really?
Look, there's a certain guy in the league to root for to win a ring. Kevin Durant is one of them.
Yes, I would love for him to win a ring.
Carmelo Anthony is one of those guys. They go their whole career without winning the ring. You'd be like, you feel real bad for him. Like, geez.
I don't feel bad for him, but, I mean, that's the nature of the game. But I would like to see him and KD.
We definitely have to see how that dynamic goes.
But speaking of KD, didn't he break a record?
Yes, KD yesterday broke NJ Street 41. 5 points or more. That's great. But the reason why the streak is really, I don't want to say irrelevant, because my team beat them. Yes, I am a Suns fan.
No, boo.
Between the Suns and the Toronto Raptors,
Woohoo! No, I'm just playing.
And the Suns are, with that win yesterday, over the Thunder. We are now in eighth place, and we can go ahead. If we're one, a half a game behind the Mavericks, take 7 foot. Yeah, it's real. Let's go, Suns.
You don't even sound right. Let's go, Suns. That don't even sound right. You need to stop.
But, you know, congratulations.
Yes, definitely. Big up to him. Big up. That was accomplishment. Don't see you throwing a lot of shade tonight. Don't try to say what he did was irrelevant.
We want to see this in the playoffs. And from what it looks like now, they won't make it past the second round.
Well, at least they're going to make it. Look. Don't start throwing shade to KD.
Now, back to this NCAA. Now, last week, I did choose Kentucky beating Wisconsin. Now, my co-host here, TK.
Who?
Oh, you don't want to be going to this? Okay, cool. Last week's show, it was said that Kentucky was going to lose, this, that, and the other. And Florida was going to beat UConn, this, that, and the other.
Really? Who said that?
I'm not
going to
even mention names.
Wow, they were off. Wow.
It's cool. I'm not going to even just be like, hey, I'm a champion, this, that, the other, because I'm used to winning. I just want to say.
You are not used to winning.
Just, when you turn on the championship game, you know, when you win the championship game, turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead, just realize it's UConn versus Kentucky, not Florida versus Wisconsin. Teams that you picked.
Who picked those teams? I don't know. I don't even have a clue what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Because I don't lose, so I couldn't have possibly said that.
Okay. We shall see.
Couldn't have possibly said that because I don't lose. So you have me confused with somebody else.
Oh, boy. So you really don't want to own up to this one,
huh? Own up to what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, boy.
You have me confused with somebody else. I don't know what you're talking about.
So you didn't tweet, you didn't, you know, Facebook,
right?
Oh, damn, Wisconsin. Oh!
I don't even have a Facebook.
Deactivated Facebook.
I don't have a Twitter either, so I don't know who you're talking about.
I got off of social media. The people were afraid that I was going to say something.
What am I afraid of? Because I didn't make those predictions. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I definitely can understand, you know, but.
Nah, I'll own up to it. I was wrong for once, you know, I guess. But, you know, that's not really the subject we need to be talking about right now. So we can just move on to something a little bit more important than me losing. Because that's not that important.
It's okay. I mean,
That's really not that important. So let's move on, you know. Let's talk about you losing something. Now, that I can talk about. We know about that all day.
I mean, why should we move on? I mean, actually, the teams that you picked are watching the teams that I picked claiming championship tonight.
Whatever.
So,
well, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, it is. Kentucky's been winning by last second shots.
Yeah,
it's the play of the golf. So.
Don't be scared. Come on. Bring it. I'm going to go with UConn.
You're going to go with UConn?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kentucky.
That's cool. That's
what's up. I'm going to go with Kentucky. A simple fact. The star power is Kentucky.
it's going to be a close game regardless, I think, unless somebody is just really off of it tonight.
We will definitely see.
But see, Kentucky, you can't rely on those last-minute shots. They're not going to always fall. They're not going to always fall.
But you know what?
So you got to get it ahead of the game before the last 5 seconds.
They were very good because Wisconsin has them. Wisconsin was in the league.
Yeah, I know.
But Calipari made the necessary adjustments on the fly. They stopped taking jump shots. And number one, you're their athleticism.
They did.
To the fullest degree, started taking everything to the back. And
And then they shut my boy down because he only had 8 points.
It's like that. While Julius Randle had 17.
Which is crazy. So they really limited him to 8 points. I was like, what? Because he's been hooping this whole tournament, double digits, almost every game. And that's it. To me, that was the key. That's why they lost. Because Kaminsky, he didn't hold it down. He didn't hold it down. They stopped him.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go Kentucky because of the star of power. They had something to prove that they're not overrated. John Calipari has been doing very well at keeping all the egos together. So
I'm going to go with UConn.
Yeah. You go with UConn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with UConn.
Xavier, Boatwright.
Yeah, they can ball. So
they can definitely hoop. And then, you know, DeAndre Daniels is just easy. That's the spot to win. Because, you know, who would have knew he would have chipped in with
20
and
10?
Over floor.
That's true.
So,
see, I'm going to go with UConn. You go with Kentucky. And we'll see who comes out the winner.
I'm going Kentucky.
You don't sound too sure, though.
I'm very sure. Very confident. I'm pretty sure Kentucky will win.
Okay.
It's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an overtime game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's going to be close. It's going to be neck and neck, I believe, so.
A lot of NBA guys. Future NBA guys are playing in this game tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Whoever wins, it's going to be a hell of a
game. I wonder how many people had this matchup on their bracket. Nobody. Nobody.
The 7th and 8th seed playing too. I had Louisville winning it all.
You did. Well, we know you don't know what you're doing, so I'm not surprised.
You had Dayton winning it all.
Here we go. Don't start hating on Dayton. You've been throwing shade. You need to keep that shade to yourself, okay? Don't start. Don't start. But I'm happy for him, though. That's why I like March Madness, because it's so unexpected and unpredictable. And, I mean, congratulations to both teams. They made it. They deserve to be here. So it should be a good game tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be a good game tonight. And in case everybody didn't know, TK, you lost the bet last.
Say what?
That's all I'm saying. My teams are playing that I chose for tonight's game. Womp, womp, womp. We're going to go ahead and break, and we come back. We're going to start off this Spotlight series with this interview with Orlando Simon, Brandon Santiago. Go ahead and kick that in a little bit.
Shadow.
Radio.
type real. Phony. We homies. I'm trying to murder everything moving. Feel me?
How's everybody doing? Before I go ahead into this interview, I got to thank everybody on the Shadow Worlds Network. If it wasn't for them, definitely we would not be here tonight on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. So a lot of love go out there to the Shadow Worlds family for providing this opportunity. Also, I got other shows right here on this network. The Every Woman Talk Show that comes on every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. and the Man Up Talk Show every Friday night from 7 p.m., 9 p.m., all times are Eastern Time. Also, follow me on Twitter, GameStrong3D. Once again, follow me on Twitter at GameStrong3D. And like us on Facebook, GameStrong Sports Talk Show, definitely. Trying to put a lot of athletes, of the sports and sports people in the sports profession on the platform so the whole world can hear your voice. So now, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring you a champion on this championship night, my man from Orlando, Brandon Santiago. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's everything going with you tonight, my man?
Good.
That's good, that's good. Who you got winning the game tonight?
I got to go with UConn.
Why UConn?
They're just tough, man. They got a lot of X factors on their team. They're hungry. I feel like they've been underdogs this whole tournament, and they want it.
Now, and then, of course, you know, the guard play of UConn is really good. Kind of remind you of yourself, you know, as you being a point guard. Why don't you go ahead and tell the Game Strong world, you know, a little bit about yourself and your story and what makes you a champion in your own right?
Well, you know, I played all my high school basketball here in Orlando. I played against some of the best players in the world in my eyes. I mean, from Austin Rivers, Keith Clanton, Shane Larkin, all these guys that are in the league or overseas somewhere doing their thing. They all came from here, and it's everybody I competed against growing up. And then I was able to go on to college. I didn't go to a UConn or a Kentucky, but went off to school, and I was able to handle my own. And now I'm in the situation that I'm in now, being, you know, played a year overseas over in Australia, did a few camps and stuff in the D-League with a few teams, just been traveling, trying to fit in somewhere, get ready for this upcoming year, and hopefully everything works out now.
Well, definitely congratulations to you on that. And with you becoming draft eligible this year, how do you shed that negative stereotype about guys coming from small schools not being able to handle bigger and better competition at the highest level?
I always felt like if you could play, then they'll find you. I mean, I tell, like, a lot of the high school kids that I see, that I talk to, and a lot of guys, like, here at home, you know, just because you're not getting recruited by you know, one of these top 25 schools doesn't mean you don't have a chance to do something. And, you know, there's a lot of guys in the league that didn't come from a Duke or North Carolina. They came from Arkansas Little Rock, Lehigh Valley. And they're making a name for themselves in the league, and they've been in the league for years. And, you know, it just, it's really, if you could play, then you can play, and you'll be noticed, and you'll get out there. It's just when it'll happen, and if you stay consistent with it, and how hungry you are and how bad you really want it.
Now, with you, and definitely you being a hungry guy, you're not the quote-unquote typical point guard, you know, as far as size is concerned. How tall are you and how much you weigh?
5'10", 160.
And with that being said, what advantages do you have over the new style of point guards that the NBA is trying to breed, you know, the faster, the taller, the more athletic type of point guards now?
I feel like I'm more of the Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo, kind of Tony Parker kind of thing, where you're more of a leader and a floor general and a true point guard. Like, I feel like a true point guard, they're not just another role on the team or another position. They get everybody involved. They're the coach on the floor. And I feel like that's what I bring to the table, aside from just being athletic or being faster and stronger than everybody. Like, I feel that I bring that mentality and that leadership to the table. And I feel like a lot of young point guards that are the new breed don't bring that, because they're score first, me first kind of guys. And there's nothing wrong with it, because they're all great players, but sometimes in certain situations you don't need that.
I definitely agree with you. It's really hard to be playing with a score first point guard, because, you know, since he dominates the ball so much, you don't know when he's going to pass it, when he's going to shoot it. I mean, more or less, but more likely, he's going to shoot it more than he passes it. And really,
right.
I really feel like the team collectively gets in that rhythm or has that chemistry offensively, you know. Perfect example for you Thunder fans out there, I'm not a big fan of Russell Westbrook. Not a big fan of him. He just kills the dynamic. You know, like you pointed out, a traditional point guard like a Chris Paul, who gets everybody involved, or a Tony Parker or a Rajon Rondo, guys that could get everybody involved, keep everybody happy, and but yet still chip in offensively as far as points is concerned. You know, that's more the point guard everybody likes to deal with or likes to have on their team. You know, and with that being said, you know, what makes the point guard position the toughest position on the court?
I think it's a few things. You got to lead by example when you're the point guard. So you can't really try to fit yourself in with your teammates as much as, you know, everybody else does. And you kind of got to, like I said, you got to be the coach on the floor. And you really got to be that leader, and, you know, everything has to be done at your pace, your tone, because you're in control. You're kind of like the quarterback in football. And I just feel like every point guard needs to possess that quality to be successful, whether you're a scoring point guard or you're a pass-first, true point guard, whatever you want to call it. You have to possess those kind of qualities to be successful in any kind of level of basketball.
I definitely agree with you. Now, with that, what do you feel is, if you were a coach and you was looking for a point guard, what do you feel is your definition of a pure point guard?
He's got to be unselfish. And he has to put his teammates first. And he has to work harder than everybody else on that team. He should know everybody's position in the playbook. I mean, forward, backward, everything. He needs to know it all. And if he doesn't, then I feel like he's not qualified for the position. Because how do you expect to run a team if you don't know everybody's job, basically?
And so, you knowing everybody's job, is the what type of frustration do you have, like, as far as a point guard is concerned? You know, you might have a teammate that might not get it. Like, how do you deal with that on a regular basis? Because you're going to have one guy who just don't get it. You know, of course, you're going to have a dumb teammate. He can score 50, but can't count to 50.
Right.
You know, you're going to have a big man who complains about not getting enough touches. Like, how do you deal with that and still manage to play your game as well?
Honestly, I didn't learn how to do that until I got to college. My head coach, Pete Beard, he taught me how to deal with personalities, deal with emotions, because, you know, in high school and stuff, it was my team, I did whatever I want, that kind of thing. Like, I would just tell you. And when you get to college and you got guys that are an All-American, or you got guys that led the conference and whatever, you kind of got to understand that these guys were here first. They have bigger egos than you, and you got to learn how to control it. So one guy, you know, I'll pull him aside and I'll talk to him, like, if, you know, we're just talking in a normal setting, if we're on the phone just talking, or another guy, if he's a little bit harder, thicker skin, I can yell at him and tell him, you know, you got to get your job right and do what you need to do. If not, I'm going to have somebody come in for you. I'm going to tell coach, like, please take this guy out. And that's just something I learned how to deal with later on. And I'm still kind of getting used to that now, because going on to, like, the professional level, I'm still really young. So a lot of these guys are, like, 26, 27, and I just turned 22, and they don't want to listen to a kid. But that's the position that I play, so they kind of have to. And I've learned how to communicate better with people and kind of just adjust to people's emotions.
Wow, that's really a testament to your game and, you know, you playing at the high levels, you know, the NBA, DL, things of that sort, nature. You know, those guys that are older than you, have bigger egos than you, you still manage to put up quality numbers, a double-double, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you manage on averaging a double-double throughout the season?
I think it always goes back to putting your teammates first. I like, as a point guard, I control the game, and I have the ball in my hands 99% of the time. So if I feel like coming down and trying to score every time, I really could. But I think it's more important to get those assists out the way first. Not really like I'm playing for stats, but get that out the way first and try to get everybody involved. And then once things open up for myself, then try to attack myself and do what I need to do to get points on the board. But I think it always comes down to getting everybody involved first. And if that's how it is the whole game, then that's how it is. I would enjoy going a game without scoring but having 40 assists.
Okay, Brandon. Hi.
Hi.
I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know what your opinion is about guys too early to go pro.
It depends. If you're coming out of high school, I think they should allow the kids to go at least try it. But if you're in college, I feel like you should have to be there mandatorily for 2 years. At least get an AA and then try it.
And why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that they have to stay for 2 years?
I feel like if you go into college, you don't really learn the game your first year. And you don't really get to experience everything in 1 year. You don't grow that much in a year. And that's why, like I said, if a kid wants to come right out of high school and try to go into the NBA, you should let him. Because I really don't see a huge difference between a freshman year in college and one in high school if you can go into the NBA.
Okay. And also, how has basketball helped you make an impact on others?
I feel like it's helped me become a role model to a lot of kids, a lot of younger people that, like, things that I've gone through, and they've seen that, you know, I'm still normal. And although, you know, I'm doing all this stuff, I still remain humble and stuff, so I'm able to show them that you can do things in life and get far and go, you know, to great places, but still remain yourself and still kind of, like, always stay true to what you are and who you are.
Well, definitely you are being an impact to others, building up your marketability as you keep progressing as far as your career is concerned. The question I want to ask you is, how important is it for a player to be marketable?
It's very important. I mean, I feel like basketball players out of any other sport were looked at the most. I mean, you see us everywhere. Even from when you're in high school to you retire, if you play professionally, you always see these guys. And people pay attention to everything these days. And now, especially with, like, social media and stuff, you don't really miss too much. And I feel like it's really important to just always be on top of everything. Try to be as professional as possible. And just try to be the best role model you can be, especially for kids. And, you know, even adults have role models still. So just trying to stay on your game, be on point, professional at all times is the best thing you could do. And it's just so important, especially, if, you know, as an athlete, you're trying to get an endorsement or you're trying to get a team to like you over another player. They're going to like the guy that's more marketable than the guy they can't really do anything with.
And now, for those guys that really don't know the ins and outs about marketability, is there, like, certain things you can do to build up your marketability? Or is there, like, there's tips, there's tricks, or something like that?
There's a little bit. I'm not really too deep into it. I just actually got in with this company. It's CJL Management. And I met this great lady. Her name's Claudette Longoria. She deals with a lot of the NBA players and other professional athletes all over the country, all over the world. She's basically taught me so far to always just be yourself and let people see what you are first. Don't try to be, you know, something you're not right off the bat. You know, people asking you questions and you're answering them completely wrong. Just be yourself. And always just be on point and remember that you're in the public eye at all times. Even if you don't have any kind of endorsement or whatever it is, you know, people are looking for you. If you're playing and you're putting up numbers, they're going to come and find you. They're going to want you. So one thing she's always told me is just make sure, you know, somebody comes up to you, you're courteous, you handle yourself the right way, you present yourself the right way. You can just always be approachable, basically.
Wow. So, I mean, definitely for you young ballers out there, marketability is the key. Always be yourself. Always be respectful and be courteous. You can go ahead and you can make it far, not only in sports, but in life as well. Now, Brandon, this is probably the toughest question you're going to answer all night, because I know there's a lot of people that support you as you keep on climbing up the ladder. Who is the person that impacts you the most?
I gotta say there's a group of people. I got a great group of friends at home. You know, we just became friends recently, but they've gotta be the most supportive people I've ever met. They've drove like an hour and a half to go watch me play. They've been always talking about it, how excited they are for me. They helped me through everything, basically. And say my best friend CJ would have to be the other big impact on my life and on my game. We were middle school teammates. He's been with me ever since, and we actually parted ways in high school. He went to one private school, I went to another, and we were in the middle of our freshman year, and he came down with a little illness in his heart. He couldn't continue playing competitively, and that hurt me. I actually was on the phone with him probably like 2-3 times that week. I remember he was telling me, you know, I'm getting flown down to the hospital, all this stuff. And I was like 14, 15, and I'm in tears. I'm just going through it. And I'm like, man, my best friend, my teammate, not going to be able to play anymore. This sucks. And that's one thing that's always stuck with me, because to this day, you know, he can't play competitively anymore. He was one of the best players I've ever played with. I mean, he was probably like 6 foot, 5'11", something like that. And he's got that Russell Westbrook kind of game. And he's just an amazing guy, and he's always supported me too. And, you know, he's kind of the reason why I keep pushing so hard sometimes, because I know he couldn't do it. And if he still could, he would do it. And he would work just as hard, if not harder. And he's definitely like the one person that I know, you know, things don't work out, he'll always say, you know, you made it this far, like, who cares what anybody says, that kind of thing. I've always appreciated that.
Well, kudos to your best friend who's giving you that motivation and just support group. That's really important, you know, people that support you and your movement, always wishing you the best of luck and always giving you that drive and giving you that motivation to do better. So kudos to your support group, man. You can go ahead, let everybody know where to catch you at. I know you got some upcoming events, where you're going to be at. This is your time, man. Let everybody know where you're from, where you're going, where to find you at, where to catch you at. Go ahead, do your thing.
My next trip, I'll be out in Virginia at the Eurobasket Portsmouth pre-draft showcase. That's the first little big showcase for me this upcoming summer. I actually take off Monday. That'll be a big one. After that, it's looking like New York and Houston. And hopefully, if everything goes right and, you know, my agents can pull something off and help me out as much as possible, then I'll be in New York this summer for the draft. And God willing, you know, maybe we could do another show and talk about that as well. But if you want to keep up to date with me, I know you got me on Twitter. Just follow me, B2_4, and, you know, everything's on there. We always talk about it. You can even follow my agency, Bold Guy Sports, and you'll just get everything on me.
That's cool. Definitely, my man. You got a bright future ahead of you, and you'll definitely be back on the show, man, talking about how you're playing with Carmelo and the rest of the guys that's in the league doing it big. Congratulations to you. And, hey, best of blessings as far as your career is concerned.
Appreciate it.
No problem. And, Ms. TK, 3 minutes left on the show. You got anything to say?
Thank you, Brandy, for coming and sharing your story. I appreciate it, and the best of luck to you in your future. Thank you to Shadow Wars Network for having me on again in the Game Strong Sports Show. As usual, I have fun giving Trey the blues. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. That would be nice to end on a positive note.
I want to thank Brandon for coming on the show, man. He's a really great host for my world. Definitely he's putting Orlando on the map. What else? I want to thank CJ for losing the bet last week.
foolishness.
Just to have my team going, you really tell you not to say anything about Florida losing, but they feel bad about that all day. So we're not going to worry about that.
You're such a jerk.
What else? Knicks fans, if you home Carmelo State, go Phoenix.
Go Phoenix.
I have to report this before Charlotte fans be upset, and this might be news.
The Bobcats are going to the playoffs. What?
Is that really news?
Yes. Yes, for Charlotte, yes.
That's true. They're going to the playoffs. That doesn't even sound right to report. But
they're going. Don't hate. Don't throw shade. Don't do it.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Come to the show tonight. Definitely episode 1 of the Hard Knock Life. Going to be next week. I got a great fan alive. I got a Neva Basketball Association. Wonderful story. That's episode 2, so make sure you tune in. And everybody be blessed. Take it easy. And stay on your grind. Now, since I got one more minute, get ready to get these chips and watch the championship that's coming right on up. And hopefully we can come back next week as we talk about CK losing another bet.
That won't happen.
I'm going to tune in next week.
Even Brandon got to UConn. Brandon got some sips. Come on now.
Next week, Kentucky champion, 8 o'clock, GameStar Sports Talk Show. I love y'all.
Good night, bye. People.
Shadow. Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. Shadow. Radio.